The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It is time for yet another edition of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you, and a little different approach today. I've been kind of getting on my soapbox in the last couple of weeks because Lord knows there's plenty to climb up there and pontificate about. But today, because there's been such rapid fire developments in so many areas and so many different things that are on my mind, we're going to do kind of a grab bag concept here. I'm not going to do my usual 20-minute setup for my supposedly 30-some-odd-minute broadcast. I'm very guilty of that in usual circumstances as I come to you, but we're going to get right to it today, and I'm going to make some quick points without going into a lot of detail. Maybe we can, in our next program, as some of these major stories unfold, get into more of the nitty-gritty. I've got a couple of different things on this agenda that are perfect discussion points with my illustrious partner on these matters of news and politics, Terry Quillian, who's been traveling internationally and thankfully is back on American soil, which in this day and age, every time she departs, I'm always most delighted when she returns. Hopefully we can get her in for the next couple of shows and talk about some of these things. But I want to start by giving you an update. I'm sure most of you are wondering how our president is doing, Joe Biden, after his not so dramatic announcement and withdrawal from his reelection campaign. Of course, he was just doing it for the good of America, passing the torch to a younger generation. Joe's been in the news twice this week, so he did wake up long enough to do a couple of things. One was to fly to Texas, and why Texas and going to Austin, I don't know the purpose. He was trying to tie Lyndon Johnson into this occasion when he announced that one of the major initiatives of his remaining 5 months was to try and encourage Congress to take on the project of completely overturning the Supreme Court and how it's structured, going ahead and completely usurping the Constitution and basically increasing the number of justices on the court, imposing term limits, which is hilarious. His initiative would impose term limits. This is a guy who has been in Congress or in the executive branch, has been in government in Washington for 52 years, and this guy is a proponent for term limits by his definition, which the proposed in this great idea for the Supreme Court. The proposed term, maximum term for justices would be 18 years. Joe has tripled that in his career, and yet that's what he's calling for. So instead of lifetime appointments, it would be an 18-year gig at maximum. The incoming president in each election would have the opportunity to put two new members on the Supreme Court. I still don't know how that works. If everybody was still within their 18-year window, I guess it just keeps increasing in size. But that would be an idea for Joe. You know, all of this overturning how the court is structured, you know, it's amazing that if a Democrat administration is in power, you know, they're all for this. But as soon as a Republican would win the White House and you take advantage of these great new ideas, they would immediately switch to opposition. I want to remind you of one of the last things really profound that Rush Limbaugh, the late great Rush Limbaugh, left with us on one of his last broadcasts, when he said, folks, you all need to recognize that this insidious group that is trying to take permanent power of this country, this leftist, progressive, internationally pushed influx of money and influence from the Communist Party of China to the George Soroses of the world, all trying and all united, radical Islamists, all united to try and topple this country internally by creating chaos and division, because they all have the similar goal of taking away the biggest block to this kumbaya new world order, world government situation. He warned that since the Democrat Party has sold out to this movement, it has become a radical far left party. The Democrat Party that we knew is gone like the dodo. And he warned that all of this talk about threat to democracy and it is the maximum projection of their views on the other side. That's a tactic that's typically used in a whole Marxist approach that I call it reverse reality, where they look in the mirror and project whatever they see and whatever they believe on their opponents, calling Donald Trump and the Republicans a threat to democracy. MAGA Americans, make America great, is a threat to democracy. Good grief. It's absolutely absurd. The whole point is, Rush Limbaugh said they are going to be all for quote free and fair elections, because now they control the process. Soros and big tech and all of the people funding this underground movement have put in place in a lot of key areas and states, secretaries of state, county clerks, people that would not normally attract any kind of support or attention. But remember, Stalin said it's not who casts the votes, it's who counts the votes. And Rush Limbaugh said they're going to be all for continuing elections, just like they are in Venezuela and China and Russia. Excuse me, Venezuela, Maduro was up for quote re-election, and Maduro was trailing in the polls leading up to election day in Venezuela by some 15 points. Guess what? Maduro declares himself the winner of the election. They have not released any numbers from the voting. He says he won by about 25%. That's exactly what kind of banana republic that they're trying to do to create here. And Rush Limbaugh said they'll be all for having elections as long as they're guaranteed to win every single one. And that's what you got to keep in mind. All of this talk is just BS. When we had the show last week where we were calling BS on certain things, but this Supreme Court idea is absolutely ridiculous. It goes against every premise of the Constitution. You have three branches of government: executive, legislative, and judicial. They all are designed by the founders to check each other and keep each other in line. And those three branches of government cannot be turned upside down and made into political branches that support one or the other two. And in this case, the executive would simply be another cabinet post for the executive, basically another bureau, another agency. And we'll get into some agencies here in a minute as I speed this up, because once again, my quick hitting broadcast is already getting bogged down by a bunch of details and minutia. The other appearance by Joe Biden was at a most unlikely time. It was on Thursday night. at midnight Eastern. So Joe must have taken a long nap because he wasn't seen all day, had nothing on his official schedule, which is kind of par for the course now since he's made the big announcement. Well, before he made the big announcement, this has been the status quo that Joe Biden doesn't really do much. But he did show up at Joint Base Andrews last night for the return of the three American prisoners that were being held in Russia. And there's a whole lot more. But Evan Verskovich, the Wall Street Journal reporter, the most prominent of the three, a former U.S. Marine, and another journalist were released from Russian jail in a big seven-way deal. The Major League Baseball trade deadline had nothing on this. And Biden took the opportunity to step in front of the cameras and give himself credit for his amazing relationships with world leaders in being able to pull this off. But what they don't tell you about the deal, of course, we have no details. We know that Biden's wheeling and dealing to get our three guys back included cajoling other countries and making the agreement with Putin, who he's also, of course, bad-mouthing and funding a war in Ukraine against. But now his buddy Vladimir and he got together on this big deal. Of course, the cost of the trade is to get some journalists back. And again, I don't take anything away. Anybody who's not happy that Americans are back on our soil are too jaded to even try to reach. But the nature of these deals during the Biden administration, the 5-for-5 swap with Iranian prisoners for us releasing those prisoners from their country back to them, we not only traded 5-for-5, we threw in $6 billion in the deal too. I guess that just, you know, makes it fair. All of these problems in the Middle East financed by the Iranians are bolstered by Biden completely overturning all the Trump policies, taking away all the sanctions, allowing them to get back into the oil business, and also little handouts like the $6 billion he threw in the prisoner swap. But Russia gets back eight guys, and all eight are either convicted murderers, terrorists, security officials that worked for Vladimir Putin. He gets eight of his best operatives back who have basically been black ops guys who, you know, have performed just a series of heinous situations, just like the other big trade he made, getting basketball player Brittany Griner back in exchange for the one of the most notorious killers and terrorists and bomb makers in the world. That was a real interesting swap. So the bottom line is bask in the glow, Joe. Then go back and get your all day nap in on the weekend here. I'm sure he's back at the beach at Delaware by now. But this is a deal that we're glad to get these guys back. But that was the two Biden sightings this week. So Joe's very active, completely overturning the Supreme Court and trading murderers for journalists. Nice job, Mr. President. Donald Trump. Now, you listen to this and you probably think that, and just like the my dear friends, when I make posts on X, used to be Twitter, whenever I mention anything about the absurdities of this progressive Democrat movement, and again, the Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party anymore. They have been completely hijacked. They're the New World Order Party, the party of Tlaib and Omar and all the other members of the squad, good old AOC. And now their girlfriend, Kamala Harris, is a candidate for president. But we're going to leave all that aside because I want to talk about Donald Trump. And he is in the catbird seat. He is, he likes to make golf euphemisms, so let's make one. Trump has a 3 or 4 stroke lead with just 4 or 5 holes to go. And when that happens in golf, the idea is to win the game, win the match, win the tournament. You don't just start flailing away with your driver. You don't go tin cup like Kevin Costner in the movie and being in contention for the U.S. Open. You don't insist on hitting three woods from 250 yards away trying to make a green in two. All you have to do is lay up, knock a wedge on the green, and you're going to win. So Donald Trump went tin cup this week, and he better stop it, because if Donald Trump wants to win, which anybody with a functioning brain in this country should understand, that even if you can't stand Donald Trump, his election this November is essential to get this country back on the rails and snatch it away from these people that have done so much damage by letting in millions of illegal invaders in the last 4 years, by making your prices that you pay for basic items go through the absolute ceiling, by just a whole nother laundry list of policies. This is a group that is telling you that they are, as soon as the Trump tax cuts upper in 2025, the first thing a new Democrat administration is going to do is let those expire. And they've already announced intentions, particularly the new candidate for president, Kamala Harris, who once did not scoff at AOC's suggestion that perhaps the tax rate should be 70 to 80%. Do you want 80% taken out of your paycheck? I've never seen a country ever before, an election ever before, when they're running on the platform of, hey, put us in office, we're going to raise your taxes. Isn't that awesome? We're going to raise your taxes. You're going to continue to pay sky-high prices. We're going to tell you where you can go, what you can do for a living, what you can drive, what kind of appliances you can have. We're going to create this great society of all equal, equitable people, and we're going to be calling the shots. So we're not equal, but all of you are going to just be one big happy family and listen to exactly what the elites, ourselves, tell you what to do. That's a hell of a platform. So Trump needs to win, but Trump needs to stop being tin cup and going for the green. He went to the National Association of Black Journalists meeting on Tuesday, and I applaud him for going into what you knew was going to be a lion's den. The mainstream media, these are reporters from a lot of the major newspapers and television networks, etc. And of course, the questions were immediately hostile. But instead of just laughing it off and saying, "Well, I guess when you walk in the lion's den, you know what you're going to get," he got combative. He kind of rambled and made some stupid language errors that he really should be sophisticated enough now, after doing this for so long, not to put himself in that situation. And I was screaming at the TV when he was asked an obvious question, and there is an absolute perfect answer, and he didn't come up with it. Because when asked if he believed that Kamala Harris was only vice president and hence presidential candidate because of the situation of DEI, which he asked the reporter, how do you define DEI? Well, I don't think anybody cannot define it. It's diversity, equity, inclusion, which is, of course, what she answered. He goes, so that's your belief of what it is. So he was kind of stalling. And then instead of saying the obvious answer, well, let's just put it this way. Joe Biden declared that he was going to pick a running mate who was a black female. That immediately eliminated everybody in every other classification, maybe 50, 60, 100, 500 people that on merit may be better than declaring one group, one specific group, is going to be the only people considered. That defines why DEI is an absolute absurd, asinine policy, because I don't you know, again, if I'm picking somebody for a job opening I have, I don't care what you look like. I don't care what your politics are. I don't care, you know, what religion you are, what your sexual inclination. If you can step into the position I have open and you are the best candidate to get results and make what I'm doing and what my organization, whatever that might be at the time, is doing, you're hired. Welcome to the team. You know, we've got to get back to giving the best qualified person the position. Equity doesn't mean equality. Equity, part of DEI, it means that we are raising people's profiles that do not deserve those particular jobs. That's why DEI sounds is better defined as didn't earn it. And again, Kamala Harris may have been the most qualified, brilliant person out there. I think we know now, and we knew then, that that was not the case, that there would have been a lot of better choices. But all of those other choices, with the exclusion of a black female, were taken out of the equation. All Trump had to say was that Biden declared that it was going to be a black female, and that was the answer. So that says, yes, it was a DEI decision. He didn't say need to say anything beyond that, but he babbled about, didn't even know she was black. I thought she was Indian, blah, blah, blah. And he really just kind of made a, you know, in all due respect to Donald Trump, but he kind of made an ass out of himself. And it really is a typical thing, because I had several people tell me in the last couple of days, well, Trump just can't help himself. You know, even if you know the context of that comment, you're not going to hear what led up to it. All you're going to hear him is babbling about, you know, and an answer that he should never have been giving. She also went on to ask him, how can anybody expect him to be fair to black people when he, you know, trashes black DAs and black journalists? And, you know, I have not heard Trump single out any district attorneys that are corrupt because they're black. He is, and it's not the case. George Gascon in Los Angeles is certainly not a black individual. There are others that have been in these positions. So all of a sudden, for this reporter for ABC to limit it to him, Trump has never stood up and said all of these corrupt black district attorneys. I have not heard him define anybody's, you know, appearance in that bucket. But some of them happen to be black. So anyway, it was a good thing that he went there. But if Donald Trump wants to win this election, as much as he loves doing rallies, and he loves it, he's an entertainer. He gets on stage and he just goes a mile a minute. He'll stay on script for a while, but then he'll drift off. He makes it's really kind of the most modern comedy routine going on now, because he does little imitations and walks around and acts like Joe Biden trying to get off the stage. And, you know, but those rallies are attended by people that he's got in the bag. He doesn't need to go and, yeah, do those every once in a while to kind of fire up your people. But he's got those votes. Where Donald Trump can win this election and win it handily is in the minority communities, is in young people situations, is in disgruntled Democrats' quarters. He did a good job going to the Bronx this year, a place no Republican would ever think of being seen. He drew 25,000 people. But instead of attacking Democrats, he needs to start telling those people the Trump administration is going to do this, this, and this to get you lifted up where you belong. You've been voting for these bums for 60 years, and look at your current situation. He needs to start talking directly to independents, to young people, to minority communities, and again, disgruntled Democrats, and tell them what a Trump administration is going to specifically do for them. And that's what he needs to focus most of his attention on if he wants to win this election. get away from all of this stupid identity stuff, because that's what campaign they want to run, because they have nothing except for that. Trump's a racist. Trump's a, you know, MAGA extremist, whatever the hell that is. I guess an extremist that loves your country is a horrible, evil thought. But the bottom line is, if Trump wants to win, Trump needs to positively impact people that are on the fence, that are sick of the Democrats, counting on them to get their vote, and then abandoning any of their needs during their administrations until it's time to sign them up again automatically. There's definite opportunity now to strike while that iron's hot and make those distinctions. A couple of real quick things. I've talked about this before on this show. We've got two biological males in the Olympics boxing against females. And the story is blown up right now because Italian fighter, a female named Perini, basically quit her fight not even a minute in, against an Algerian trans female who has been disqualified from participating in other international boxing competitions. But the Olympic Committee, the same one that approved a skit by drag queens making light of the Last Supper and also allowed people to come in with Palestinian flags and yell Heil Hitler at the Israeli teams competing. The woke committee of the IOC has permitted a couple of male fighters to pound on females. The biggest taboo in our society is for a man to use his fists on a female. It's abhorrent. It's disgusting. It's heinous. It's hideous. I can list words, synonyms for the next half an hour, but we are sanctioning men beating the hell out of women in an international competition. It is absolutely abominable and disgusting, and it needs to be stopped. This whole idea of men competing in women's sports, particularly in a combat sport where you can inflict physical damage. The biggest, again, taboo in our society is women being battered by abusive men. And now we're sanctioning it in the games that are supposed to bring us all together. You've got to be kidding me. You know, that's just some of the things that kind of are on my mind today. I wanted to get into some others. Let's just check the lineup here and see if there's anything else I wanted to cover, because, you know, certainly there's so much going on right now in this country and in this world. I do want to give one last item that I don't want to save for later because it just happened. Did you see the double play the Israelis performed the other day? And another word for double play is twin killing. And this was a twin killing, and it was an unbelievable feat by the Israeli Mossad. And if you're not familiar with Mossad, it is the most sophisticated security force, government security force, counter-espionage, you know, strike force in the world, about 7,000 employees. A huge part of Israel's budget is committed to the Mossad, which has got a lot of secrets. But basically, they are the most effective counterterrorism intelligence force on Earth. And anybody who forgot about this, the Mossad made a very loud announcement of who they are and what they're capable of as they took out the Hezbollah commander in Beirut, who had ordered the missile attack on Israel that, whether intentional or not, hit a soccer field full of teenagers last weekend and killed 14 young people. Just inexcusable act. if it was targeted or if it was an accident, doesn't matter. They're still shooting rockets into populated areas of Israel. Well, that guy got his retribution. He's also was heavily involved in the 1983 bombing of the Marine barracks that killed over 200 U.S. servicemen. So justice was served there. Just hours later, in Tehran, of all places, in the Iranian capital, they took out Mossad, one of the leaders who have been headquartered basically in Qatar, one of the major figures, top dogs in the entire Hamas movement, which is the other terrorist organization funded by Iran. And you know what they did? He was in town to attend the inauguration of a new Iranian president. Now, the last Iranian president died back in the spring in a helicopter crash. I don't know the nature of that. They've never announced the circumstances. It was bad weather, but maybe that wasn't a coincidence. Maybe this elite force is making statements right and left to the Iranian government that no matter what you do, we can get to your people. Believe me, the Ayatollah, I'm sure, is aware, because they took out this Hamas commander who was staying at a specific heavily guarded guest house in Tehran for those ceremonies. He had just met with the new president and the Ayatollah a few hours before, retired to his guest house. It exploded. He was killed. Apparently, it's coming out now that somehow the Mossad was able to plant an explosive device in that guest house at some point prior to this visit. I guess, a pattern had emerged whenever this guy was in Tehran. This was where he was headquartered. Don't know how they did it, but they had put an explosive device at some stage in this guest house in anticipation of this guy occupying that space. And this time, as soon as he went in and sat on the couch or stretched out for a few winks, well, those winks are permanent now because they blew him to smithereens. And this is the kind of psychological strike where you keep hearing the news media, who doesn't really understand the proficiency of Israel's willingness to survive and the tools they've put into place to ensure that. This is the most sophisticated force in the world for this kind of thing. And you go, well, the Iranians, you know, they're going to strike back. This is going to escalate into this giant conflict and whatnot. I guarantee it, this has scared the bejesus out of the Iranian leadership and everybody in the Middle East, because the psychological achievement of right in their backyard in a heavily guarded quarters getting to this guy sends a message that, hey, at any time, we can take you out. Trump proved that by getting Soleimani, one of the top lieutenants in the Iranian terrorist situation, when he arrived on a flight from Iraq and got in his motorcade. They had all the movements tracked and took him out with a drone strike. So bottom line is, before these guys get too big for their britches and think that they can use their proxy forces to take Israel down, a strong reminder was made by Mossad. It keeps reminding me of the theme from Shaft. They say these guys, Mossad, are bad mothers. You bet your ass they are. And they showed it with their activities this week. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's your version of Need to Know this week. Kind of a grab bag of items. We'll be back next week with more. Hope you have an outstanding next couple of days. Maybe some things in this world will start to stabilize and normalize, but we've got to be diligent. We've got to pay attention to what's going on. And most of all, we must not let the corrupt media tell us what to think. Also not believe what shiny objects they put in front of us. We need to sit and think and analyze facts and make our own decisions. Use your brain power. I think it will surprise you if you apply a little bit of time, a little bit of thought, and a lot of common sense, a lot of issues become a lot more clear. I'm Kip Kiefer. Thanks for listening to this week's Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.